On the 27th of April 2026 in New Delhi, New Zealand and India signed a free trade agreement. 2 months later, it cleared its first reading in Parliament, 93 votes to 29. The Prime Minister called it a once-in-a-generation opportunity. Tonight he takes the stand against a teacher from Recife who spent his life asking one question. An opportunity, comrades, for whom?
Act 1. The Prime Minister opens with the pitch he has now given in New Delhi, in Auckland, and to Parliament.
Look, this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for New Zealand. Genuinely. India is now the most populous country on planet Earth, 1.5 billion people, becoming the world's third largest economy, growing at more than 8% a year. And what we've done, when many said it was impossible, we just got on with the job. 95% of our exports covered, 57% duty-free on day one. Lamb, wool, coal, leather, forestry, gone. Tariffs, gone. That is making our businesses more competitive, creating jobs here at home, and lifting incomes. This is another example of what I mean when I say National is fixing the basics and building the future.
Prime Minister, thank you. Let us together read what you have just said. You have counted the tariffs. You have counted the containers. But you have not yet counted the people. 1.5 billion, you spoke of them as consumers. In my country, we learned, sometimes painfully, that the moment we begin to speak of the human being as a customer, we have already lost the argument. So let us ask gently, whose jobs are lifted? And whose are traded? 57% duty-free on day one, you said. But dairy is outside the deal, is it not? Because tens of millions of Indian smallholder farmers would have been ruined by it. That is not, comrade, a technicality. That is the whole political question.
Act 2. The exclusion of dairy, and the price of the deal.
Well, look, with respect, a good deal is preferable to a perfect deal, right? You've got to be pragmatic here. Dairy is outside the agreement because India guards it fiercely, and we made the call, a realistic call, that meat, wool, forestry, seafood, horticulture, wine, that is still an enormous prize. You don't hold out for an all-or-nothing outcome when you've got Kiwi exporters who have spent years paying tariffs that price them out of one of the fastest-growing economies on the planet. At the end of the day, you've got to chunk it down, execute against the plan, and back our businesses to compete.
Yes. Yes. Pragmatism. It is a word I have heard many times, always spoken by the person for whom the arrangement is already comfortable. Prime Minister, I am not against the wool grower in Otago. I am not against the shearer or the meat worker or the family that depends on the forestry mill. These are my brothers and my sisters. The question is, who wrote the deal and who read it? Because you have also signed, have you not, investor protection clauses. The sort of clauses that let a foreign company sue a future government of New Zealand if that government tries to protect its water, its housing, its workers. Your own coalition partner, Mr. Peters, walked away. The Greens voted no. Te Pāti Māori voted no. They are not being difficult, comrade. They are reading the world.
Act 3. What would a dialogical trade policy actually look like?
Look, I hear you. I do. But we believe in open and predictable trade. We believe in international rules. We believe in sovereignty and freedom from coercion. And what I say to New Zealanders and to the business community is just crack on, get on the plane, meet the customer, build the relationship. Because if we sit here debating the philosophy of it, the Australians are already on the tarmac. That is the world we're in. This agreement, this is delivery. That's what we said we would do, and that is what we've done.
Prime Minister, I do not disagree that New Zealand must trade. Of course it must trade. Aotearoa is small, it is open, it is far from every capital. But there is a difference between trade and the way we trade. One asks, how do we sell more? The other asks, together, with our workers, with Tongata Whenua, with an Indian farmer we will never meet. What would this exchange look like if none of us had to lose in order for the other to win? That is not naive. That is the beginning of a real economy. So, my proposal, Comrade Prime Minister, is modest. Before the second reading, sit in a Waranui, sit in a Marae, sit in a Union Hall, sit in a Punjagi Community Center in Papatoto. Not to sell, to listen. Because a trade agreement that has not been read by the people it will govern is not an agreement. It is a decree.
You've been listening to A Once-in-a-Generation Opportunity, Luxon and Ferre, on the New Zealand-India Free Trade Agreement. Transcript, sources and further reading at Katie Dialogues on GitHub. Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike. Ka kite anō.